North Korea's official news agency today accused the United States of working to bring a holocaust of nuclear war to the Korean nation. It also said the U.S. is spreading false rumors about the North's nuclear weapons program. In Washington, White House spokesman Ari Fleischer reiterated a U.S. offer to talk with the North Korean leadership, saying the ball is in their court.
The current tensions on the Korean Peninsula have their roots in the way the country was divided after World War II. Joining us now to review some of that history is James Matre, professor and chair of the History Department at California State University, Chico. He says in order to understand Korea's recent history, one has to look back nearly 100 years.
The important thing to think about when you think about the recent history of Korea is that it's been a very tragic century that the Korean people have just gone through. The events leading to the division of Korea at the 38th parallel have everything to do with the fact that Korea was part of the Japanese Empire from 1910 until 1945. And if Japan was not in control of Korea as a colonial power, there would have been no reason really for the United States to get involved in Korea at the end of the war. But by virtue of the fact the United States was at war with Japan, it had to play a central role in determining what the destiny of Korea was going to be once the war was over. Its original plan was to support a four-power trusteeship in Korea, and it had been kind of fleshed out in a general way at the Yalta Conference by Franklin D. Roosevelt during February of 1945. But then during the spring, as most people know, President Roosevelt passed away. And his replacement, Harry Truman, beginning in the middle of April 1945, had far greater suspicions about what the Soviet Union was up to in the post-war period. He made the decision, therefore, to postpone action on a trusteeship agreement in hopes that the United States could end the war with Japan quickly and preempt Soviet intervention with the expectation that the United States would be able to occupy Korea unilaterally when the war ended. As we know, the Soviet Union, 2 days after the atomic bomb was dropped on Japan on August 6, 1945, declared war against Japan and sent its troops crashing into both Manchuria and into northern Korea. The Soviet Union could have occupied all of Korea and imposed a Soviet-dominated government on that country in the summer of 1945. But at the last minute, the Truman administration proposed a division of Korea into zones of occupation at the 38th parallel, and was surprised, and this is an important point, very surprised, that Stalin accepted this proposal.
How did they choose the 38th parallel? How did that come about?
Well, that's a very interesting story that remained a matter of mystery until eventually the documents regarding that particular decision were declassified during the period of the 1970s. The record suggests that on August 10th, that in the War Department, two individuals got together, one of them a man named C.H. Bonesteel, and another, he of course was an Army officer, but another whose name will be probably familiar to many of the listeners, Dean Rusk, who at that time was an officer in the War Department's planning division. And those two gentlemen sat down, pulled out a map, decided on the 38th parallel line, for, I think, essentially two reasons. The first one is that it constituted a rough halving of the peninsula geographically, and secondly, it included within the American zone the key city of Seoul, which, of course, was the capital of Korea.
With the Soviets occupying the north and the United States occupying the south, was it inevitable that there was going to be a war?
Well, that's another subject that historians have spent a great deal of time discussing, and indeed, over the last 50 years, there's been a considerable shift back and forth in determination about whether or not a war on the Korean Peninsula was inevitable. At first, the accepted position was that of the Truman administration, that this was an example of Soviet aggression, that he was the one, Stalin, who ordered the North Koreans to stage the assault as part of the beginning of a new phase in Soviet expansion, which would rely on military means. That particular interpretation was steadily chipped away at until during the 1980s, an interpretation at the other end of the spectrum took hold. And that interpretation viewed the war in Korea as not inevitable, but instead the result of the United States sticking its nose in where it didn't belong. That particular interpretation, therefore, would argue that the civil war in Korea was made inevitable by the fact that the United States intruded on what should have been resolved immediately at the end of the war if the United States hadn't gotten involved.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about the Civil War? Who were the leaders that were in power in the North and South? what were the events that eventually led to that civil war?
The situation in Korea at the end of World War II was exceedingly volatile. And at the risk, again, of overgeneralization, there were two groups that were bidding for post-war power. On the extreme right were individuals who had been closely allied with the Japanese, many of whom were, in fact, outright collaborators. On the left, there were a large number of individuals who favored revolutionary change. And it's critical to note that the independence movement inside Korea during the period from roughly the 1920s up until the end of the war was dominated by the left, and particularly under communist leadership. Now, Kim Il-sung, of course, is a name which Americans certainly are familiar with. During the period before World War II and during World War II, we know now, although it was disputed for many years, that he was a very popular guerrilla leader who operated out of Siberia and in Manchuria, and in fact staged a number of assaults against the Japanese during the period before and during World War II. So already he had established his credentials as a revolutionary nationalist in Korea. These two groups clashed with one another as the war came to an end. And so when the United States came in the South, and the Soviet Union came in the North, what it did was to impose on Korea a division, not only geographically, but also in terms of politics and ideology.
So what you just described, the situation that existed as the United States got involved in this civil war and then eventually, what eventually became the Korean War, it seems as though those positions have solidified over the years and pretty much remain the same.
I suppose the most important point that one can make that bears upon the current crisis is this. Hostility by the South to the North was a central residue of the Korean War. It was used as a way to solidify military rule in Korea, which lasted until the year 1987. Similarly, in the North, hostility towards the South Korean regime, which the North Koreans have always viewed as illegitimate with considerable justification, but also extreme hostility towards the United States, has been used as a central vehicle to unify the populace and mobilize it behind national goals. It is also central hostility to the United States and fear of America's threat to North Korea that has been central to ideology which dominates North Korea, known as Juche, which literally translates as self-reliance. North Korean regime, therefore, has followed a policy of systematic isolation from the outside world and the building up and maintenance of a large military force because the North Korean government and the North Korean people are thoroughly convinced that the United States has just awaited the moment when it can once again use its military means to invade North Korea and conquer that area and overthrow the North Korean regime, which it came very close to doing during November of 1950.
Thanks very much, Professor Mattrey.
And thank you very much. It was a real pleasure to talk with you today.
Professor James Mattrey is chair of the History Department at California State University, Chico.